Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Mickey Blog Podcast. I'm your host, Jared, alongside Alyssa Antonelli once again. Today, we are talking about going to Disney, believe it or not, because we are continuing our Disney for All series. But in this episode, as we continue our second episode in this series, we are talking about couples going to Disney. We will be talking about couples not just going to Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World might be the focus, but this does correlate and relate to Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and other ways of tackling your Disney vacation. Of course, before I jump into all of that, I want to mention that this episode is brought to you by Mickey Travels. We'll talk more about Mickey Travels. But speaking of Mickey Travels, might as well ask the co-owner of Mickey Travels, how are you doing?
Good. I'm just realizing it's episode 75. That seems like a significant number.
It really is. It's been a while. We are still doing this, which is awesome. So happy to see that. It's really a joy to have been able to do this for as long as we have and have as many supporters continue to listen and watch and support the show. So
well, that's the big hopefully thing. We just thank everybody who's still hanging in with us. I mean, who knows by episode 175, you know, who knows who's still going to be around. Hopefully we have more, but you never know. But as we always say, if we reach one person and make one person's day happy or enlighten one person to something they didn't know that made their trip better, we're the winners.
Exactly. I mean, and what a treat that we've been able to garner tens of thousands of downloads, of listens, of views, because that isn't just one person. And we're really grateful for that. That's a lot of people who've tuned in and watched or downloaded or listened, dozens of 5-star reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'm not saying all this, by the way, to like pat ourselves on the back. That's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because we're extremely grateful for that. Extremely grateful for all of you, because none of that happens without you guys. And so we're just very grateful for the support, and hopefully we can continue to keep bringing you guys some weekly magic with new episodes that drop every single Friday. So, well, it is a new episode. So let's get into this episode, where today we are talking about couples going to Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, of course, Disney Cruise Line. I mean, Aulani, great spot for couples, not going to lie. Did that for my honeymoon and 10 out of 10 recommend. But this is not an Aulani episode. This is a Disney for Couples episode. In our first episode in the Disney for All series, we covered Disney for Adults. So go check that out if you'd like to. We talked about how to tackle your Disney trip if you are going primarily with an entire group of adults, whether it's 2 adults or 10 adults, doesn't matter. There's trips like that every single day. So go check out that episode if you need some tips and tricks for planning a Disney trip for adults. Today, let's dive into couples. You know, Alyssa, the dive in and the cruise puns don't work when we're not doing a Disney Cruise Line episode. I just realized that.
Yeah, how, no, what a like bummer. Dive in. It's just people are like, wait, I thought you were done with your Disney Cruise Line series. It still applies, yeah. Right? But I think that what you were certainly alluding to is, I guess people might say, well, didn't you kind of tackle couples because that's adults? I think this is more, tell me if I'm wrong, Jared, a little bit more romantically based and things that are a little bit more, you know, sort of not the hustle and bustle of the, you know, of the craziness, sort of like a little bit more, you know, I don't know, just things that I think a lot of people, here's the thing. And Jared, you could tell me if you agree, because you do a lot of couples things when it comes to Disney. I think there's a misconception out there that Disney's only for like little kids. It's like Small World and the carousel and, you know, oh, like, come on, that's not, you don't think of Disney World or Disneyland when you think of a romantic couple's getaway, but you should, because there's a lot there that we're going to share with you today. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And yeah, that's exactly what the focus of this episode is. I was joking with Alyssa before we started the episode that we should have recorded this closer to Valentine's Day. And frankly, maybe we should have. But regardless, I really like this episode topic because I do think there is a misconception out there about, you know, being able to turn your Disney trip into a more romantic occasion. I mean, there's a reason why a significant amount of people celebrate honeymoons at Walt Disney World, celebrate anniversaries, celebrate, you know, engagements. I got engaged at Walt Disney World. So there are obvious things that you can do during your Disney trip that are, of course, going to be romantic and things that most everybody knows about. But there's also some of the less obvious ones that we're going to talk about. And some of the tips and tricks to make your Disney trip for couples a little bit more enjoyable. Some of our favorite spots to hang out that you're getting a lot of Disney magic, but it's more low-key vibes. A lot of those locations involve resorts, but they still can involve the parks as well. And this is not a one-size-fits-all. If you're the kind of couple that is going to Walt Disney World and you are going with your partner, but you want to do 6 straight days at the parks and you don't care about romantic dinners, you want to eat chicken tenders every day and go do it, go off. Love that. Like, I'm not saying that's not the way to go.
Free podcasts.
Absolutely. Look, I have my moments where I go to Disney with my wife and I'm like, look, we got to go on Pirates. Like, I know I've been on it 1,000 times. So we got to go. Like,
and then we're going to go eat chicken nuggets and french fries.
It's all I'm good. Practicing what I preach.
You, Jared, this is a safe place.
Yeah. Look, full disclosure, Alyssa, just, I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago, my wife and I went to Epcot thinking we were going to have a nice low key night, grabbing a few drinks, enjoying the festival. And then we looked at the Disney app and we saw all the wait times at Magic Kingdom were like 5 minutes, like just insanely low crowds for a weekend. And so we jumped over, went to Magic Kingdom, ran all over the park, did a bunch of rides, got Casey's Corner to end the night, ate like it was not at all the nice, low key, romantic evening I thought, but it was still enjoyable. Exactly. So the point is, it's not a one size fits all with this kind of thing. We always say that on every episode. This is just our advice. Okay. So we're not saying this is the only way to do a couple's trip at Disney. This is just our advice. That's all.
Well, and I want to say one other thing, Jared, just before we kind of jump into some of that advice. You know, we just said that the focus is going to be a little bit more romantically forward and things like that. Let's not forget. You know how I just said, oh, people don't think of Disney as the romantic getaway. But if you think about, all right, follow me along with this. All of the fairy tales, don't they end in a romantic sort of way? You know what I mean? Like, think about all those fairy tales we all love. You know, all the princesses that find their prince. I know they have to go through some hardships and some villains. They got to get through some villains to get there. But at the end of the day, it is very romantic. Just what Disney is about. I know that's a little stretching it a little bit, but you follow what I'm saying?
No, I definitely follow what you're saying. I mean, nearly every Disney princess film has a, you know,
happy ending.
Major love story involved.
A happily ever after.
Exactly. I mean, dating back to Snow White and the first Disney animated film, I mean, that's... she's getting her happily ever after. Of course, yeah. Classics like Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast. I mean, there's Disney's long had
Little Mermaid.
Exactly. Disney's always had a long, lasting focus on the topic of love and couples and everything of that nature. So let's jump into some of our specific advice when it comes to tackling a Disney trip with couples. The first piece of advice that I would say, this is before we jump into real specifics, is figure out the vibe of your guys's trip. If you're on a double, triple, quadruple date, let's say that might fit more into our Disney for adults category. But if you are going, as I just said earlier, if you're going with your, if you two are 19, 20, 21, doing your first little solo Disney trip as a couple, early 20s, mid 20s, late 20s, and you're not big drinkers, you want to go tackle the theme parks, awesome. Okay, that's great. But just know that, figure that out beforehand. Along with that also comes with deciding, okay,
What is your budget? What kind of things do you want to enjoy? If you want to go on a couple's, you know, trip with your significant other and you've realized, okay, I want to allot some money to do some special occasion stuff, then maybe you do take 1 or 2 days off from the park and enjoy more pool time or Disney Springs time in order to budget some of the cool experience things, because there are some very cool experiences that you can do, especially as a couple. So that's really first and foremost. But then let's say you got your idea of what you want your trip to be. You're celebrating your anniversary. You're celebrating, whatever, your first trip as a couple, a big move, a promotion, whatever it is, and you're going as a couple. Then let's talk about things you can do. But before we do that, we should talk about resorts, because Alyssa brought up a great point before we started recording about how oftentimes, you know, when it comes to making a Disney trip romantic or turning your Disney trip romantic, there are very romantic-esque resorts at Walt Disney World. And, you know, of course, this is going to apply to things like Disney Cruise Line, but also, and Aulani is 1000% romantic. In Disneyland, there are ways to stay over there and make it a little bit more adult friendly and romantic. So, Alyssa, do you want to talk a little bit about how couples can tackle that side of the coin? Let's say we do have a couple. For this example, I'll say it's a couple in their 30s or 40s celebrating an anniversary, just the two of them. Like, how would you tackle planning a trip like that? What kind of recommendations would you suggest to them when it comes to where they should stay?
First and foremost, they need to contact a Mickey Travels agent. Duh, right? I mean, that's like exactly. The first step, right? You contact a Mickey Travels agent who's going to help you from the get-go. So that's number one. Number two goes back to what you said, Jared. Got to find your budget, because, you know, my first knee jerk is, oh, the Grand Floridian, of course. That's not in everyone's, you know, budget or everyone's pocketbook. So find out what's, you know, where your budget is. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to stay at the Grand Floridian to find that romance and to find that, you know, that perfect resort for couples. Now, do I think that the deluxe resorts exude a little bit more romance? Yes, but then I'll be honest with you, look at the Contemporary. I don't think that is like a romantic resort.
No
offense. Not exactly. It's a great resort, but the Incredibles don't give me romantic vibes. No offense, yeah. You know. But anyway, obviously the Grand Floridian is just, it oozes romance and just, you know, whimsy and just wow factor. I will also say, I think another resort that is also, I do think the Polynesian can be extremely romantic. We're kind of going back to what you said, Jared, about Aulani. I think that there's obviously a connection between those two. So the tiki torches and just the coziness and the warmness. I think that's great. But I can't also not say, I can't not mention Wilderness Lodge. I think the lodge is a very romantic place, as Animal Kingdom Lodge can be. Just that warm, kind of by the fireplace. It just gives you like a big hug. And I think that there's a lot of really neat, you know, factors there. But let's go down a little bit in price point and let's look at Port Orleans, French Quarter or Riverside. I think both of those can be extremely romantic on a smaller budget. I think there's something very romantic about both of those resorts. I will say, and I don't say this, you know, we try to keep everything very positive, but if we're focusing on couples and romance, I do think that the value resorts can be a little busy. They can be a little loud. They're super fun. So when we talk about, Jared, when we get to our Disney for families, we're going to go all in when it comes to the value resorts.
Yeah, but we'll be talking a lot of art of animation.
Right? Art of animation. The all-stars. The kids love the big icons, right? I don't know if I would look at, you know, a big bowling pin and say, wow, let's get a romantic picture by the big bowling pin, you know, at All-Star Sports or something like that. So, you know, I would probably say if you were going to go value and you're trying to find the most romantic, I would probably say Pop Century, but I'm not sure I would call Pop Century a romantic resort. I guess of the, do you, Jared, am I just going off on a really crazy, like, rabbit hole?
You know, a little bit, but it's okay. No, I would just say,
help me out. Throw me a lifeline.
No, I would say the one thing I will agree with you in regards to Pop Century and even Art of Animation is, you know, for starters, you have the Skyliner there, and the Skyliner can bring you to a lot of very adult friendly and romantic spots. So that is a huge plus. But one important point I wanted to make is you can have a very romantic Disney trip, even if you're not staying at one of these extremely romantic Walt Disney World resorts, for example. For my third anniversary of dating, this was, you know, a while back. I'm not that old, but regardless, I'm coming up on 10 years of being with my now wife. So at the time, it was 3 years. We were both still in college. We stayed at All-Star Movies for a long weekend. However, because we decided to stay at a value resort, we did some more fun and, you know, exciting things as a couple. We're going to talk more about things to do in the second half of the episode, but, you know, that enabled us to be able to go have a really nice dinner over at Narcoosie's. We went and did the Port Orleans Riverside horse-drawn carriage, for example. You know, and we even did a dessert party, firework dessert party as well, which we'll talk about some of that stuff too. So these are things that, you know, you can consider. And beyond that, some of my favorite evenings that I ever have, especially as a local, every once in a while I'll get in the mood and I'll be like, look, I really want to just go, you know, have a drink at Wilderness Lodge and walk around the resort. And that's something you can also enjoy. You know, if you're, if like, yes, Disney does typically want like Disney guests to park at their Walt Disney World resorts. Like, but that doesn't mean you're like banned from there. Like if you have, if you go make a dinner reservation at Grand Floridian, you can go turn that into several hours of walking around, of enjoying the beachside, enjoying the water, enjoying the electrical pageant, you know, whole water pageant parade at nighttime. Like these are things that, you know, you can enjoy. So would you agree with that, Alyssa, in the sense where like there's so much you can still do even if you're not staying at these resorts?
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, if you do it the right way and you make a dinner reservation, you can definitely enjoy even, you know, a resort, what it has to offer if you're not staying there. And I did want to say, I think that was a really good point that you mentioned about you and your wife going to an All-Star, which is not romantically forward. But what I love about that is that you made the rest of your vacation together about the two of you. So really it was not resort focused for that particular trip. And rather you took that, you know, you, I'm sure being young at that time, there was a budget, right? I mean, yeah, it wasn't like this unending, you know, amount of money that you had to spend.
We were college kids.
That's right. So if you stayed at the Grand Floridian, which maybe you could have swung, you probably wouldn't have a lot left over to do the other things. You probably wouldn't have done
sitting in the room.
Yeah, you'd be sitting in the room watching television, like, "Hey, honey, C-SPAN's on tonight." But you wouldn't have been able probably to do the cruise, and you probably wouldn't have gone to Narcoosie. You would have had chicken nuggets and fries. You know, so there is really, I love that you're showing that it doesn't have to be like when they hear this and they think, "Oh, so it can only be romantic if I do the highest end resort with the highest end dining and all the extras." Absolutely not. But that's any Disney vacation. It's about priorities. Hey, look, if you have all the money in the world, if you win the Powerball tonight, and by the way, good luck to anybody listening, then it's all there for you. But most of us don't have endless pocketbooks, right? We do have a budget. So it really does come down to what's important and prioritizing. And I think that's a great example. I did want to say one other thing, Jared, before you moved into anything else. When I was talking about the different resorts, the one other thing I did want to mention, because I was thinking about it, is as far as romantic sort of like venues, I did want to talk about the Boardwalk, because I do think the Boardwalk is a very romantic resort, but it's located on a very romantic sort of area, because I think the Boardwalk is great for couples. You've got bars, you've got, you know, dueling piano bars, you've got abracadabra. There's going to be other things opening up, which is going to be even more exciting. But there's something really romantic about just sitting. The Boardwalk is beautiful. I mean, I think you would agree. So having a resort right there and being part of the Boardwalk, especially at night, I think the Boardwalk at night is one of the most beautiful places. I wanted to mention that as well. And by the way, let me say this. You don't have to stay at the Boardwalk to visit the actual Boardwalk.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I wanted to name a few spots myself, because I totally agree with the Boardwalk point. You know, the Boardwalk to me is one of the more, not just romantic places at Disney, but adult friendly, laid back, just one of the best vibes you're going to
escape.
Get.
It's an escape.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, I've had so many wonderful nights there. I've spoken about it on this podcast several times about how my wife's family has a very profound love for the Boardwalk. So multiple different Disney vacations with them. We've done an Epcot day and walked right over to the Boardwalk, you know, just grabbed a drink and sat right there, did some people watching, enjoyed the boats going back and forth. Like it's a very beautiful area. It really is. Another one I wanted to mention, maybe it's for sentimental reasons, but Disney's Riviera Resort, I do think is very romantic. It is a very classy, adult-friendly resort, but it's also the area. You have the Skyliner that can take you right over to the Boardwalk. You have the Skyline that you have that whole area where you can walk around Caribbean Beach and enjoy some of Caribbean Beach's restaurants and bars. But also having Topolino's Terrace, which is a fine dining, you know, restaurant with a rooftop, is a huge, huge bonus there. So, you know,
well,
there's,
I think you're also personally attached to Riviera.
I don't know what you're talking about.
For a very romantic reason, if you wanted to, I think our listeners have heard, but I think it's worth repeating.
No, so it's true. I was engaged at Disney's Riviera Resort. I proposed to my wife there, and it was in 2021, so there were still some COVID protocols in place, but it took a lot of planning, it took a lot of stuff to pull off, but was able to work, and Disney was amazing, their staff being able to work with me and my mom and planning it all. But I had family fly in, her family, my family, friends.
I wasn't invited to that, by the way.
I know. Look, I didn't know.
Just want to like throw that out to our listeners and viewers, because I know they're all like, "Oh, Lisa, how?" They want to ask me how it was. Guys, I don't know. Jared did not include me in this event, so I just want to throw it out there. Keep going, Jared. Talk about how great it was.
Even though I didn't know Alyssa, I should have invited her.
You should have seen what was going to be now
my future. Yeah,
but honestly, no. Everybody, I have no idea. This could all be actually a lie.
I don't even know
if I truly believe it, but you can keep going with the story.
No. So one of the things that I really loved about the entire experience was how romantic it felt after the proposal, because I proposed in the resort itself with all of her family and my family there, but we were able to enjoy a dinner at Topolino's Terrace. And after the dinner, you can still enjoy the terrace itself, go outside, have a few drinks, just like you could if you went to California Grill, another very romantic spot we'll talk about later. So that's just another resort I wanted to mention. And you know, in terms of moderates, I do think both Coronado Springs and Port Orleans, as Alyssa was mentioning, these are a step down on budget-wise, but I do think you can absolutely find great, great couple experiences and enjoyment at both of those locations. I'm not saying you can't at Caribbean Beach. I just think Caribbean Beach is going to be a little bit more family-centric, kids and lots of big groups. It is. It's very large. Where Port Orleans, I'm going to be honest with you, I agree with you, Alyssa. Port Orleans, with the boats right there, with beignets, with you know, the
cozy.
The moss. Like, it's like,
it just feels like cozy and warm. Yeah. And you just feel like, and again, maybe it's also their smaller resorts. I do agree with you. I think Coronado does have some areas that could definitely be construed as romantic. I also agree with you. Sorry to our friends who love Caribbean Beach. Little Big, not a place I would consider romantic. But there is something about the two Port Orleans resorts that are just very intimate and and warm and cozy. And like I said, to me, when I think of romantic, I think of things that are just a little bit, they just, you know, they're just, I think of cozy and I think of just, you know, feeling good.
What's great about Port Orleans too is you can enjoy both sides of it. I mean, if you're staying at Port Orleans Riverside, you can walk right over to Port Orleans French Quarter. And that walk is pretty romantic and quiet and peaceful. It's right on the river. It's just, it's a gorgeous area. I remember the first time I saw Port Orleans, I remember being like, what is this? But like, how did I not know about this place? I thought it blew me away that it was a moderate resort because it is, it's a packs a punch for what it's offering, I will say. So having said that, we're going to take our mid-episode break and then transition into the second half of our episode. And in the second half of our episode, we're going to talk about actual things to do, restaurants you can enjoy, experiences you can book, things like that. We just wanted to start off talking about places to stay. And again, this absolutely applies to Disneyland and Disney Cruise Line. If you're thinking about doing a Disneyland trip as a couple, you know, you can obviously budget accordingly and realize, okay, if I want to stay in this beautiful Grand Californian room, then great. It's just about your budget and where you stand. And if you do want to stay at a more value-centered room at Disneyland, then you can enjoy some of the finer dining and finer, you know, other offerings. It absolutely applies out there. And for Disney Cruise Line, in my personal opinion, I don't think there's a better way to make your Disney Cruise Line trip more romantic than enjoying one Palo. Absolute must. Have to go.
If I could have just been a betting woman that was coming out of your mouth, I was said, I go in my mind, I go, Palo, 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 Palo. I agree with you. I mean, I'm kind of joking, but I think that is the epitome of a romantic time on Disney Cruise Line, hands down. Yeah,
100%. One of the most romantic meals I've ever had.
I also say real quick before we go to break, you also have a personal connection there because you celebrated a special anniversary.
Exactly. Yeah, that was our first wedding anniversary that we celebrated at Palo. Wow. And between this and honeymoon and Aulani, I'm really a great fit for this episode, Alyssa. I've definitely
I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, Jer, I'm gonna go. You got the second half, right? Bye everyone. I don't
You know, Alyssa, I'm sure over the years you've experienced your own special occasions with your husband, but also, you know, adult trips and things like that. I know you've spoken about being able to, in the adult episode, being able to experience like a little, you know, reunion trip with a lot of your sorority sisters, stuff like that. Yep. But it's amazing. Sometimes we don't even realize like, oh, yeah, that's kind of like our wedding or anniversary celebration. I got to celebrate. And you and I are lucky because we live down here. So other than that, I'll just record the rest of it on my own.
I was going to say, bye. Have a good weekend. No, I'm kidding. I'm staying around.
She's sticking around. But anyways, before we move over to the second half of our episode, I do want to mention that this episode and every episode of the Mickey Bob Podcast is brought to you by Mickey Travels. Mickey Travels is a nationally recognized leader in Disney vacation planning. They are diamond earmarked by Disney, and their services are always 100% free. So reach out to Mickey Travels today for a free quote on your Disney vacation at MickeyTravels.com. That is MickeyTravels.com, making magic one vacation at a time. And as we spoke about, and as Alyssa already alluded to, you know, if you're going to go through a Mickey Travels agent, they're going to have all of this advice that we're giving to you, probably, honestly, better advice and more organized than the way Jared gives it. And they're going to tell you about amazing experiences, what restaurants they're going to recommend to you. I mean, we're talking expert advice and planning and booking and all of it at zero additional cost to you. It's a no-brainer to go to a Mickey Travels agent rather than booking your own Disney trip. It's just
agreed.
It's a no-brainer. So, Alyssa, let's talk more about specifics with things that couples can actually do. And we're going to cover it all on this next 30 minutes or so. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is I want to talk about the obvious stuff first, you know, the dinners couples should experience, the maybe the extra experiences and you know, paid things that you can do. Like we talked about the horse-drawn carriage and things like that. We'll talk about that. But, you know, I'm gonna challenge you here, Alyssa, to sort of think a little bit outside the box, because towards the end of these 30 minutes, I also want to talk about some more specific outside of the box things that you can do, places you can visit, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, that will make your trip a little bit more romantic and enjoyable as a couple. Because I have a few things in mind that I've already thought of. That's it. I'm just challenging you. That's all.
I feel like pressure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the first half kind of went smoothly. Now I'm like, okay, second half, let me buckle up and pull the yellow strap and make sure I'm securely in this.
Yeah, this is very serious.
I'm ready.
All right. So let's start again. Let's start with the obvious stuff. So we'll give both of us more time to think about the outside of the box stuff. But no, I mean, we do want to mention some restaurants that are naturally and extremely romantic, you know, at Walt Disney World for starters, because that's what we are mostly focusing on. But, you know, if you're going to go to Walt Disney World and you want to have a special occasion dinner, a romantic evening with your partner, I know I can think of multiple that fit this, but Alyssa, do you have anything specifically in mind?
I mean, I think you and I are going to tag team a lot of them, so I don't want to take them all, right? Because I know we're going to, and I know which one I'm leaving for you, because I know it's one of your favorites. but I would tell you, hands down, I have seen more proposals at California Grill than I've seen at any restaurant on Disney property. It's a beautiful restaurant. It is, you know, overlooking Magic Kingdom. They pipe in the fireworks music. You watch it. I mean, it literally oozes romance, more so than a family. I've been there with my family many times and it's wonderful. There's something so special about going with just a couple. Oh my God. So California Grill to me is just the epitome of a romantic dinner. You know, again, if it seems like, oh, it's so expensive, it's worth it. You know, if you can fit it in your budget, amazing. And the one thing I always like to remind people, just so they know this, is if you can't get that half hour, 45 minutes before the fireworks start, and you're like, darn it, I can only get like a 5:30 and the fireworks start at 8:30. What am I going to do? You can leave. Well, first of all, they'll never kick you out. You could literally drink coffee for 2 hours. But if you're like, no, I'm not doing that, keep your receipt and you can leave. And you can come back at fireworks, show your receipt, and you can watch the fireworks from the walkway outside. So I always like to remind people that you can come back and watch that. So I would say that's number one. Just another favorite of mine, as you mentioned, Jared, is Narcoossee's. Always been a favorite of mine. Same thing. They lower the lighting. They pipe in the music from the fireworks. They have reimagined that restaurant. Jared, remind me, it's been almost a year, maybe, since they've reopened that? Not quite?
Yeah, roughly, I would say like 9 or 10 months currently
it's
recording.
Very coastal, which I love. So it's very bright and it's very just inviting and fun. I love the colors. They're very, like, the aquas. And again, it's just very, very coastal and great. And the food's amazing. So I'm not going to steal all of them, but those are two, I would say, of my top choices for romantic dinners at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. And I just want to say right off the bat, completely agree with both of those. To be honest with you, I don't think there is going to be, like, I'm going to name a few as well, but I just want to say that none of my options, in my opinion, are going to be able to top California Grill from a special occasion or aesthetic. And it's not just about the food, because there's restaurants that I believe serve up better food than California Grill. I want to say that right now on the record. I'm not saying California Grill has bad food. There's a few that I
throwing it down.
I'm just saying.
Whoa, mic drop.
Look. Hey,
okay, whoa, hold on, everyone.
I'm just saying. I know. Gotta get back on course.
Hold on
here.
To your seats.
Look, and that was not me saying California Grill has bad food. California Grill has incredible.
I know what you're saying. There's some great food elsewhere. But as you were about to say, there's more than the food.
Yeah. Oh, it's the atmosphere. I mean, you're sitting there being able to not just overlook Magic Kingdom in the distance. You got the monorail constantly going by. You got the boats going back and forth. You have fireworks you can view from outside on both sides of the coin.
The electric water pageant.
The electric water pageant. You can watch, sunsets. You can watch sunrises because you got both sides of the coin. I mean, it has it all. And it really, from an atmosphere perspective, I truly do not think could be beat. But again, like that's just, I won't rile up any California Grill diehards. I promise.
Charlie, we just lost 50 people that were watching.
I know. Gone. Everybody who loved California Grill is like, excuse me.
They're boycotting Mickey Blog. Thanks, Jared.
Hey, I know. There we go.
We love California Grill. We love it.
Absolutely adore it. I just, all I was trying to say is that I don't think that restaurant can be beat from an atmosphere perspective, regardless of whether you think it's the best restaurant on property from a food perspective.
Their food
is great. Doesn't matter. Their food is still spectacular. It's just the atmosphere is what puts it over the top.
Agreed.
Narcoossee's, to me, very similar, being that it is right there on the water, Grand Floridian, a gorgeous location. Again, I mentioned this earlier, but Topolino's Terrace is a place that I find very special. It's extremely, it's just the same sort of, very similar to California Grill and its atmosphere in regards to being able to have that rooftop, being able to go outside on the rooftop and see views of, that entire area. It's gorgeous. It is extremely romantic and things of that nature. A few other romantic dinners that I like to think of, in terms of location and what you're getting out of it. I think Flying Fish over on the Boardwalk is a great location for having a more romantic evening. We've already spoken about, the Boardwalk in general, but I also think going over to a place like Animal Kingdom Lodge and enjoying a dinner at Chico is another really fantastic option. And for me, regardless of all of this, which I think Alyssa agrees, I'm not sure.
I know where this is going too. I wish I was a woman. I loved it for you. I didn't want to see
you. You did. To me, Le Cellier is my favorite restaurant in Walt Disney World. It's not even really all that close. Part of it's sentimental. My family, every single Disney trip, like that was our must-do place. We always ate there. But as I got older, I started celebrating more things like anniversaries with my girlfriend and wife and things like that. But, even my parents came down this past fall and I had dinner with them there and it was fantastic again. I've gone there with my brother on a double date with his girlfriend and my wife. It's fantastic. It's located in Epcot. Talk about cozy, Alyssa. It's about as cozy as it can get down there. You're underneath the ground, basically, in a very dimly lit setting.
You just don't even know where you are. You don't feel like you're in Walt Disney World. You just feel like you're in, just a wine cellar in Canada.
It's amazing. It really is. And
I want to say also, one of the things I love so, and I love Le Cellier just as much. And funny thing about it is, let me say, I'm not a meat eater, so probably doesn't make a ton of sense to a lot of people, right? Because they're known for their meats and their filet and their. But I have to tell you, they have. Well, I don't eat this either because it has bacon in it. But the cheddar cheese soup, I mean, they've had that for years and years and years. But their pretzel rolls, yum. And they, well, I have to say though, so Jared, I'm a little bit miffed at Le Cellier. If I can, I hope somebody at Le Cellier is listening. Because the last time I was there about a month ago, they took the Brussels sprouts off the menu.
What the heck?
I mean, I was about to literally get out there with a sign and just boycott the whole restaurant. Like literally just like walk around Epcot, you know. They are aware that they might have made a mistake, possibly by me and whatever. But I
Alyssa
will say,
made it known to them. She was unhappy.
The food is absolutely fantastic. And like you said, it is, it's just so nice and cozy. Oh, but this is what I was going to say. What I love so much about Le Cellier and the other restaurants around the World Showcase is they brought back the international cast members from the countries. And I don't know about you, Jared, but I'm sure you were at Le Cellier when the international cast members weren't there, probably right after COVID and they reopened. It was not the same as when you have a cast member who is your waiter or waitress and you see that they're from a province in Canada, you know, like even via Napoli. You know, I want to see what town in Italy you're from. I don't want to see that you're from like, you know, Massapequa, New York. You know what I'm saying? But that's a positive thing because they're back. And I sort of just didn't feel the vibe, even at Le Cellier. No offense to the American cast members, but I needed the international cast members.
Alyssa wanted her Brussels sprouts served from a Canadian who knows about the history of these Brussels sprouts themselves.
That's all I'm saying. No,
look, I get it. Another thing I wanted to mention while we're on the topic of romantic and couple-oriented restaurants is Epcot is filled with several of them if you are going to enjoy them in a park. A lot of the romantic setting dinners and, you know, special meals will be located at some of the fantastic Walt Disney World resorts, but that doesn't mean you can't experience it in a park. At Magic Kingdom, Be Our Guest is probably your best bet when it comes to a more romantic evening, but at Epcot, there's several locations. For example, France has several very nice locations to enjoy a more romantic setting dinner. And also Italy, whether you are enjoying Via Napoli, but there are other fine dining, Tutu Italia, like these are locations that I think are very, very authentic and enjoyable in the sense where you do feel like you're kind of transported to another place. Like we were just talking about with Le Cellier, because one of the things that's interesting, like we were talking about, Alyssa, is you were saying you feel like you're transported to another place. How disorienting is it when you walk out of Le Cellier after like 2 hours and you're back in Epcot and there's tens of thousands of people everywhere?
And you smell like caramel popcorn and and you hear kids screaming. I just want to say one other quick restaurant that I think is also, again, funny coming from me because I don't eat meat, but another very romantic restaurant is Yachtsman Steakhouse. I did have to mention Yachtsman only because it is also what they call a signature dining location. And definitely a place that is, I think, rather romantic. You can get a really, really nice meal there. And then lastly, Jared, just real quick, I know we're not going to put a ton of time into this. But I feel like we also have to mention maybe a couple of the restaurants over in Disney Springs. That might be sort of considered, you know, like maybe a place for a romantic evening, such as the Boathouse or Paddlefish. I'll also tell you one of my absolute new favorite restaurants is Summer House. And while it's not fancy, I find it really, it can be a very romantic place to have a really nice dinner.
No, I agree with that. It's very like, one of the things I like about Summer House a lot is how airy and open the atmosphere is. It's very pretty inside. You feel like you are in a very gorgeous setting. Haleo is another great option if you want to split tapas and things of that nature. But I do want to mention the Boathouse because I think the Boathouse, especially when you're sitting outside when the weather's nice and you're sitting outside on that back deck, it doesn't get much better. You got the water right there. I mean, it's a gorgeous setting. It really is.
And if you really want to take it to a different level, I know we're going to get, you can do the Amphicar. Amphicar, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I think that's what they call it. Where you guys, a couple after dinner could go in the car and it basically, it's a car that goes in the water. I know people are like, if you haven't seen it, that doesn't sound right. And it takes you all around the lagoon. And it actually can be quite romantic.
It absolutely could. And I'm glad you also mentioned paddlefish, because paddlefish is another spot that, regardless of whether you're going to eat an entire meal there, one of the more romantic and enjoyable spots I like to hang out, which a lot of people aren't aware of. So get ready, take some notes here, kids, is definitely enjoy the upstairs bar at Paddlefish. You can walk up to that bar. If you walk up those stairs, you can go up there, have a drink, and sit on that patio, and you're overlooking all of Disney Springs from a rooftop, and you didn't make a reservation to eat there. It's one of the rare, like, still hidden gems, Alyssa. And honestly, I probably just ruined it for myself, because I don't know how many people I just told this about.
Well, now everybody's going to go and you're going to be like, honey, we can't.
I'm going to go there next time. Yeah, I'm going to go there next time. And my wife's going to be like, well, this is your fault. You told them 100%. All.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking about outdoor bars, like you mentioned, the Boathouse and also Summer House has a bar and an outdoor seating area. And like you said, you know, Disney Springs at night can be just an extremely romantic place. I mean, it can get busy and crowded. But once you sort of get out of the shopping district area and you get to some of those restaurant areas, it kind of just becomes a little more intimate for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And again, another perk of, not to bring up Port Orleans again, but another perk of Port Orleans is having boat access, because I think taking a boat ride, grabbing a drink and heading back, walking the grounds of Port Orleans can be an extremely romantic evening.
Absolutely.
We're going to name a few outside of the box, but places that you can enjoy romantic settings at that might not be as romantic as the locations we mentioned, but are still worth a mention. I wanted to name a few right off the bat. I think going to the Polynesian, even if Ohana is not the most romantic dinner, it's still a gorgeous, gorgeous location. And as Alyssa was mentioning, Polynesian itself is a very romantic resort, because you can walk around, there's that light Hawaiian music constantly playing. One of my favorite things to do, Alyssa, over the years has been just sitting on those chairs on the beach of the Polynesian, and you can watch the fireworks from right there, listen to the music, watch the boats go by. It's very, very pretty. The atmosphere is gorgeous. Same sort of deal over at Grand Floridian. Even if you're not going to eat at Narcoossee's, you can also enjoy places like Grand Floridian Cafe. Citricose is another really great restaurant that I think has become actually underrated over the years. Over at Saratoga Springs, one of my most underrated restaurants in all of Walt Disney World is Turf Club. That's a restaurant I've always very much so enjoyed. The atmosphere is fantastic. It's low key. Again, you're right near the water. You can watch boats go by. It's just a great area. Yeah, right on the golf course as well. So those are a few that I wanted to name. And lastly, the last one that I wanted to sort of point out, I guess this fits into, sort of towards the end when I talk about outside of the box things. But for me, another one is going over to Geyser Point over at Wilderness Lodge. You might think, Jared, what are you talking about? It's a little basic lunch and dinner location, but Wilderness Lodge is right there on the water. It's a fantastic setting. I mean, you feel like you're literally in this new world, and it's wilderness oriented, and it's just gorgeous. It's a fantastic spot. Wanted to mention a few of those. Do you have any other honorable mentions or any places you think that you'd want to mention?
Well, now, are we talking strictly food, or are we kind of going outside of that?
I would say you can go outside of it. It's totally fine.
Okay, I'm going to go. All right, because I think we've sort of talked about the food, and those were great.
Yeah, I think so.
Also honorable mentions. I think it's also important that we also remember a couple things that, and these, I'm just going to kind of shoot them off because I don't think we're going to spend, you know, a total, like a lot of time on each of them. But, you know, there are a couple of resorts that have spas. And I think it's also really important to note that, you know, there's nothing more romantic than a couple's massage or, you know, some kind of, you know, spa therapy. That's really great for couples, and certainly Grand Floridian, you know, would be a great thing to do there, obviously. And then, of course, I know this is a little bit more niche and maybe doesn't apply to certainly a lot of people listening, is, you know, a Disney wedding, a Disney vow renewal, as you mentioned, a Disney proposal, you know, all of those really, really romantic things, or, you know, just things that, and I know this is like also a little, you know, strange, but like, you know, maybe it's like, oh, I'm not getting married there, but you could renew your vows and it wouldn't be the expense of, you know, a whole wedding. It could be very, you know, just sort of intimate. Like you said, Jared, a proposal, you got help with from Disney. So again, while that doesn't really apply to all of our listeners and viewers, Disney is a place that happens on a daily basis. I mean, how many people have you seen on Main Street in Magic Kingdom get down on one knee? I mean, it's almost
you know, almost every single day I'm at Magic Kingdom, I see that. But I will also say this, Alyssa.
It doesn't get old, though, Jared, does it?
It doesn't get old. But I will say this, too. Sometimes I fear and think about how many just really cute, adorable proposal photos, and there's just sweaty hat running to the next thing to take a photo, Jared in the background of that photo. Hopefully not too many.
What do you call it?
Photoshop me out.
You know, yeah, Photoshop Jared. They'll be like, who's the guy in the hat with the phone? Oh, guy? Just get him out of there. Or they'll go on a page and say, can anyone get this guy with the hat out of this picture? But all joking aside, those are all romantic things. And I know, Jared, you also, I know our time is limited, but you also wanted to mention about like dessert parties and fireworks cruises and things like that.
No, I mean, one thing I will mention first off is horse-drawn carriages are something Disney offers, and I think they are so well done. Yeah. I was able to experience one with my wife at Port Orleans, and they take you from Riverside. You walk up, the carriage, you know, guy is right there waiting for you. They make it like out of a fairy tale. They bring you all the way down to French Quarter and back. You're right alongside that river. At the end, you take photos with the horse. And I have a very adorable photo of my wife smiling because the horse is like trained to like put its head right on your shoulder. So there's a photo of her with the horse, like literally head on her shoulder.
I think Obi agrees. When you brought up the horses, I think Obi agrees that that's a great thing to do for couples.
Yeah, I just want to mention, apologies if you hear my dog in the background.
Oh, good. This makes us real. But I think our viewers will just have to know that your dog, Obi, agrees. I think he heard horse-drawn carriage, and he's like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Obi's actually our third host. Doesn't make a lot of appearances, but when he does... He's
agreeing.
He's agreeing. You know, when he barks in the distance, he's agreeing.
Yes.
No. It's on the same topic. You know, there's also things such as firework, boat cruises you can enjoy. You can enjoy dessert parties that are fantastic as well. I mean, these are very, very amazing things. Another
right pontoon boats. Yeah. And by the way, can I also say this? This is also another thing. I know you've seen this too, Jared. When we've gone to Epcot and seen, well, Illuminations or Harmonious or Luminous, whatever it turns out to be throughout that year, let's say for right now, the Luminous dessert, the Luminous fireworks cruise, you can have those boats decorated for an anniversary, for a proposal. Now, of course, you can do birthday and all that, but let's just say you just got engaged and you're staying there a few extra days, or it's an anniversary. Maybe, you know, you surprise your wife with, you know, just the two of you going out to see on a luminous fireworks cruise, and you have it decorated with happy anniversary.
Look, I mean, Disney, when we tell you that like Disney is prepared for these things and Disney is trained for this, like we couldn't be more honest about that. Yeah. One of the things that was amazing about when I proposed, for example, Disney helped us get flowers up to the room, which you can order those through Disney directly. They'll help you out, have flowers in your room and everything like that. But also as simple as, okay, my fiance is going to be arriving to the gate. You know, can you just tell her, like, don't confuse her. Don't lead her any direction. Like, just say, oh yeah, sure. Welcome.
Right, happy. Exactly.
Happy anniversary. Cause she thought it was an anniversary trip. And I also had family members on the room that if they said, oh, you're here with this party, it could have completely revealed the surprise.
I can imagine how nervous you were.
Yeah. We won't get into those details.
I'm trying to picture what that was like while you were waiting for her and how nervous you were.
Basically picture someone on the verge of fainting for an extended period of time. And that was me. But we got through it.
It's so true though. And Jared, I'll let you obviously finish it up, but I think the purpose of this part of the series is I think there's a lot of people who think Disney is not a place for romance. Disney is not a place for couples. It's for little kids and families and things like that. And it's obviously we're going to go through, we've already done Disney for adults. We've done that. We're finishing up Disney for couples. We're going to talk about Disney for families. We're going to talk about Disney solo. I think Jared, we have we have others that we want to, you know, kind of talk about, but the point is that it makes sense for lots of different demographics of people. And I think that just by showing where to stay, what to do, where you could eat, just hopefully these ideas, as you said, Jared, they're not the be all and end all, but there's some ideas that hopefully someone will say, I never thought of that. You know what? I'd love to celebrate my anniversary in Disney. I'd love to surprise my wife or my husband and do a trip solo, even if it's for a long weekend.
And remember too, if you are, you know, a few adults going on an upcoming Disney trip and you have kids and things like that, there are programs and things you can get set up with in terms of, you know, being able to have somebody watch your kids. But even if you're able to escape for a few hours, we do hope we gave you some ideas on places you can go, things you can do, because this isn't just a show and an episode for Disney for couples. If you're going for a week-long trip as a couple, like, no, I understand the vast demographic of people going to Walt Disney World are families. And if you have someone watching your kids for a night, then hopefully you can go partake in one of these amazing things,
Jared,
to go enjoy.
Let me just ask you, so our viewers are not confused. Are you volunteering to watch somebody's children for a night when they come to Walt Disney World, since you're local? As a listener,
it's a great offer.
I might have taken it that way, and I just want to clear the air to make sure that you don't get like emails and messages that people are saying, okay, Jared, I'll take you up on it.
Yeah, as long as you go to one of the places that I suggested, then yes.
All right, guys, you heard it here.
Sorry, that's my only rule.
Will watch your children so you can have a romantic night in Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jared, for that offering.
This is what I'm here for. I'm just a volunteer Disney babysitter.
Who knew that we had so much to offer?
No, but truly, thank you so much to everybody who listened and watched this episode. We really appreciate the support yet again. We drop new episodes of the Mickey Bod Podcast every single Friday. You can watch all of our episodes on YouTube, or you can listen to them on Apple, on Spotify, on wherever you get podcasts. We're on multiple different platforms. We always appreciate the support. If you want to learn and, you know, read more about Mickey Bog itself, of course, head over to MickeyBog.com to stay up to date with all things Disney. You can follow all things Disney over there because we cover all things Disney over there 24/7, 365. On top of that, you can follow Mickey Blog on social media. We're on multiple different social media platforms as well. And beyond that, we can't wait to see you next week on another edition of the Mickey Blog podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in and have a magical rest of your day.